as I was singing this, whate'er my God ordains is right, holy his will abideth. You know, we're singing that. Do we really believe that? And the answer is, yes, right now we do. Right now, yes, it's easy to believe that. What happens when you're in a hospital bed? What happens when you lose your job? What happens when all kinds... And I was thinking, here's what I was really thinking about, is some biblical examples of people who said, whate'er my God ordains is right. Biblical example number one, Moses. Moses ran away from Pharaoh. He didn't understand, why is the Lord going to work all this out? And he just felt the Lord was going to wanted him to deliver Israel. And you remember what happened? He killed that Egyptian that was striking one of the Israelites or the Jews. And then when he did that, the next day he intervened between two Jews who were fighting. And then he realized that they're going to find out I killed this Egyptian, and Pharaoh was after him. And he fled. 40 years he's in Midian. He's in the desert for 40 years. And we don't know what he thought about. You know, we don't know all the ins and outs of the issues. How about Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his own brothers. And not for a short period of time, about 13 years. Can you sing where, whate'er my God ordains is right? When you're in sold into slavery and people lie about you and you're in jail? I mean, how hard is that? How about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? You know, they're carried off into Babylon as slaves. And whate'er my God ordains is right, holy his will abideth. I will be still, whate'er he doth, and follow where he guideth. We can go on and on and on. You know, God's people have suffered big things. If we could design, live a designer's life, or a life of our own design, I know what I would do. I would design something real easy for me. Nice. A nice kind of life. And in reality, that's what we have in the U.S. Other countries, they suffer. They suffer in a lot of different ways. But I wonder, can we really sing these words and mean them? Whate'er my God ordains is right. And we have our troubles and we have issues that come into our lives, and most of them because of our own faults and failures. But whate'er my God ordains is right. Holy his will abideth. Well, that's what we're studying this morning. And we come in chapter 3 in our confession of faith to God's decree. And last time we said there's two important prerequisites for any study of God's word, but especially when we're talking about the decrees of God. Because God has planned everything out. And our problem is, a lot of times we don't like what he planned. And we struggle with it. We have real struggles. And so the two important prerequisites are faith and holy self-doubt. Faith is the recognition, glad-hearted submission to the God of Holy Scripture, that God is in control of everything. And I'm so glad he's in control. I'm not in control. Some of us have a tendency to want to play God, that we know what we need, but we don't. We really don't. So faith is that recognition and glad-hearted submission to God, the God of Holy Scripture. He is good and kind and faithful and merciful and loving and wise. And we are none of those things to perfection. We may have some of those things, but they're so faulty and so sketchy. And God has them all to perfection. So faith. And the other one is holy self-doubt. And that is the realization that God's thoughts are not my thoughts. And his ways are not my ways. His ways and his thoughts are so high above mine. And he's perfectly wise and just and kind and good and loving. And he knows what's best for us. He knows. He really, really, really knows what's best for us. If anyone thinks that he knows anything, he knows nothing as he ought to know it. 1 Corinthians 8:2. Some of us could go for a whole week meditating on that verse to fix some of our problems. I don't know anything like I ought to know it. Proverbs 12:15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. So we come to paragraphs 1 and 2. Last time we looked at God's decrees are eternal, doing an exposition of those two paragraphs. God's decrees are eternal. That means that whatever he decreed, he didn't do it yesterday. He doesn't do it on the fly like a lot of us do it. We make decisions right on the fly. Some people plan, but a lot of times the plans go awry and then we just kind of go on the fly. But God doesn't go on the fly. His decrees are eternal. That means he made decisions, that he made decrees before he made anything. And that's awesome. That is absolutely beyond, it's mind-boggling. His decrees are eternal. God's decree is sovereign. He did it. Ephesians 1:11, God works all things according to the counsel of his own will. He doesn't need me to counsel him. He doesn't need me to help him figure out what to do. He's already figured it out. And I'm in the midst of trying to figure out what I should do and how I should fit into his plan. God's decree is sovereign. God's decree is certain that nothing or no one can frustrate the design of God, the decree of God. No one can stop his plans. Proverbs 19:21, there are many plans in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the Lord's counsel, that will stand. Our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases. Where is that found? That's an easy verse to memorize. It's a good one too. Psalm 110 verse 3. I'm sorry, Psalm 115 verse 3. Our God is in heaven and he's done whatever he pleases. Let's turn there. I like that psalm. Psalm 115. And the heading in my Bible is the futility of idols and the trustworthiness of God. And the psalmist begins by saying that song that we sing, not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? Because idols were images or statues or things that man made, and you could see them. You could see them. Anybody? Well, maybe you haven't. The goddess of, called Artemis, or from Acts chapter 19, the Ephesian goddess. She was the goddess of fertility. They still have statues of her. And she's the many-breasted goddess. She's the goddess of fertility, and they had sex involved in their religious worship, and they had everything going for them. And great as Diana of the Ephesians, they cried out in the amphitheater in Ephesus. And in Seljuk, even today, they have that goddess, or at least a resemblance of the goddess, the many-breasted goddess. And but you could see this statue. So they're asking the question, where is your God? We can't see him. And that's when he says, but our God is in heaven. He does whatever he pleases. Their idols are silver and gold, work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have, but they do not walk. Nor do they mutter through their throat. Those who make them are like them. What does that mean? Those who make them are like them. Dumb and stupid. Because they can't. They can't even communicate. O Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. O house of Aaron, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. The Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, and the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor any who go down into the silence. But we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord, or hallelujah. So we don't see our God because God is a spirit. Doesn't have a body like we do, but he does speak because he has a mouth and he speaks and he has ears and he hears and he moves and he does things. He's an awesome God. So God's decree is certain. No one can frustrate his decree. No one can alter it. You don't change it. He's already determined what's going to happen from before the beginning. And then that's where we stop. God's fourth thing about God's decree, it includes everything. 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 He has determined everything whatsoever what is ever going to happen. It's already been determined. And that's mind-boggling. And that makes us struggle. It makes a lot of people struggle, I guess. Romans 8:28. How else can any Christian say, or every Christian should say, and we know, this is a conviction. We know all things, not some things, not most things, but all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. We know all things work together for good. Joseph knew that when he was sold into slavery. Somehow God communicated that to him. Because when he saw his brother, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And so he learned it. When did he learn that? I don't know. Sometimes during that 13-year period of time when he was in prison or he was a slave. And that's what we're learning. We have to learn that. And we have to be convinced of that. We have to have a conviction that this is true. Paul had that conviction even though they beat him with rods. You remember at Philippi? And he was beaten by rods a lot of times. He was stoned in Lystra. And he could get up and say, all things work together for good to those who love God. And I love God and I'm called according to his purpose. And his purpose is to make us like Jesus. Can you get a hold of that? The will of God. God's decree includes everything. The will of God is the expression or the revelation of his perfect nature. And his nature is to be his sovereign, holy, just, good, wise, loving, and on and on and on. It's everything is according to his nature, and he's perfect. And all of us should be thankful that we're not God, because we're so imperfect, that we're not in control. God's in control, and he uses imperfect people to accomplish his design, his purpose, his decree. Job 23:13-14, Job says, but God is unique. That's an understatement. God is unique, and who can make him change? And whatever his soul desires, that he does. For he performs what is good, what is appointed for me, and many such things are with him. I was going to talk about free will, but we're not going to do that because we have a whole chapter. Chapter 9 is entitled Free Will, Man's Free Will. And we'll get into that. We'll talk about that. But essentially, free will, or the idea of free will, man's will is free only in the sense that he's able to make choices according to his nature. We're able to make choices according to our moral nature. And that's a problem, because our moral nature is not good. And so we don't make good choices. We make poor choices. Even Christians who have been regenerated, we still have problems in making our choices and decisions and our thoughts. Our thought, they're still faulty, and we make mistakes a lot, a lot. And so man's will is free only in the sense that he's able to make choices that are consistent with his nature. And if you have a sinful nature, what kind of choices can you make? Sinful choices. If you have a regenerated nature, if you have a new nature, you can make good choices. But they're all not going to be good, because we still have flesh and we still struggle. So we'll get into that. Any questions about anything we said so far? Here's the difficult part, I guess. The only one who has free will is God, because he can choose anything he wants to do. Because he's almighty, he can do anything. And because he's sovereign and good and wise, he chooses the best possible circumstances and situations. And he's made those choices before eternity, because they're eternal. So he chooses what he wills to be done according to his nature, and he's able to accomplish and carry out what he chooses to do. And that's because he's sovereign, omnipotent. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 29. This is a real crucial text. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. The children of Israel, the Jews, are in the wilderness. How long have they been there? Almost 40 years. And they've been delivered from bondage into Egypt, and they've gone through all kinds of issues, and they did a lot of complaining and whining and groaning, and they didn't like the manna, and they wanted some meat, and they even set up a golden calf, and on and on and on and on, all these issues that they had. And God made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, gave them the law. And as soon as Moses comes down, there's the golden calf. And so Deuteronomy is the second giving of the law. And he's making another covenant with them, just renewing the covenant. And in chapter 29, telling them about blessings and cursings. Blessed are these people who obey, who keep my covenant. Cursed are those who disobey and do not keep the covenant. And essentially that's what it's about. The last verse, Deuteronomy 29, verse 29, he gets into this, it's really interesting stuff. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. But those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever that we may do all the words of this law. And there's a whole lot in there, but essentially there's two big things. Two big things, and both things are of God. Secret things and revealed things. The revealed things of God, we might call that his preceptive or his moral will. The things which God has told us that we must do. The revealed things are given to us that we and to our children belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. So God's revealed will, his moral will, his preceptive will, sometimes it's spoken of that way, involves all those things God requires his moral creatures to do. So, in Genesis chapter 2, the Lord God commanded the man, that is Adam, of every tree of the garden, you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day you eat it, you surely die. That's the revealed will of God for Adam. Told him, don't eat it. You can eat all these of these other trees, all the fruit in this whole garden is yours. You can freely eat, but this one tree in the middle of the garden, just one tree, you must not eat any of those that fruit on that one tree, or you will die. How easy is that? I can go to this tree and this tree. How many trees were in the Garden of Eden with fruit on them? Do you know, Will? I have no idea either. A whole bunch, I'm sure there was lots of them, because God is good. Lots of them. Avocado trees were all through that garden. I love avocados. And cherries, and apples, and pears. Asian pears and Cuban bananas and these, what do they call those little bananas? Cuban bananas. Those are the Cuban bananas. Well, little Cuban bananas in our yard in Miami, little bananas, fat ones and little ones, and they taste so good. They have all kinds of fruit. Why in the world would you want to disobey God and go right there and eat that one tree, the fruit of that one tree? Why would you do that? Because there was no inclination to do that, except rebelling against God. But there was no inclination for them to do that, and they did it. Revealed will of God. Revealed will of God. Matthew 5, 43 through 44. You've heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies. What's that? The revealed will of God. That's given to us, that belongs to us and to our children, that we may do all the will of God. What is some other revealed will of God? How about Matthew 6:33? What is that? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added to you. And in the context there, food and clothing and housing and seek first the kingdom of God, that's a revealed will of God. What's some other ones? God's plan of salvation has been revealed. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. So there's the commandment, believe, and the promise, you will be saved. What else? This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. You shall love your neighbors yourself. Love the Lord your God. These things are given to us that we may do the word of God, the will of God, the revealed will of God. So we read the Bible, and in the Bible there are these. He tells us his will. What else? Anything else you think of?
Proverbs 3:5-9.
Proverbs 3:5-9. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. That's 7. What's 8 and 9?
Depart from evil and do good.
Depart from evil and do good. Okay. Yeah. Anything else? Lots of things. Husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for her.
Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God.
That's his will. When are we need to be still and know that he's God. What else? Submit to one another, bear one another's burdens in the Lord. And some are these things easy to do? Not necessarily. In fact, without the help of the Lord, we can't do them. You might have the most beautiful wife in the world, but how do you love her? Like Christ loved the church. You tell me how you do that. Can you do that? But he commands us to do it. That's his will. Lord, will you help me to do your will? Will you help me to love my brothers and sisters in Christ? Will you help me to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness? Will you help me to trust in you with all my heart? Will you help me to do these things? This is your will. If we pray according to his will, he gives us what we ask for. So he not only tells us what his revealed will is, he gives us the wherewithal to be able to do it. If we just ask him, and so he helps us. Here's a big one, Matthew 6:25-33. I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you shall eat or what you should drink, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Don't worry. And if you worry, guess what? You're not doing his revealed will. Any comments or questions about God's revealed will? You say, well, that's easy. Yep, that's easy. No, it's not so easy. But it's revealed. We know what his will is.
Maybe the more difficult part is what he has not revealed.
That's where we're going. That's where we're going. Okay, So our God is in the heavens and he does whatever he pleases, but we don't see him. And the world doesn't see him. But we know he's there and we believe him, though we can't see him. But the secret will of God, we don't see that either. We don't understand. It's hidden from us in many ways. It's just hidden from us. And our problem is we're more interested in the secret things of God than in the revealed things of God. We want to know the secret things. And he says, nope, that's mine. The revealed things belong to you. He says, secret things belong to the Lord our God. So the secret will of God, secret things, God's will of purpose or decree, are those things God has determined before time and eternity that he's going to do. And we would like to know a lot of those things. And he says, here's how we would say it. It ain't none of your business. It's his secret things. So let's say all of us go over to the Wilfongs for lunch. Okay? And you know the house, you walk in the door, and they're so open, so everything is so nice. And you can go into the sunroom, go on in the backyard, go into the kitchen. Over here at the end of the counter there is where you throw the trash. I think that's the trash. Refrigerator's over there. I mean, you can go anywhere. But why would you want to take a left-hand turn into Shannon's bedroom, or a little farther on, take another left-hand into the Wilfong's bedroom? The doors are closed. I don't think you ever... Do you leave the doors open? Sometimes. Okay, they leave the doors open. And Greg and I say, hey, have you ever seen the bedroom of the Wilfong's, Bonnie and Bob's bedroom? He said, no. Well, let's go in there. The door's open. And we go in there. But Greg wants to see more than that. So that dresser. Let's see Bob's socks. Open the door. They just start opening the doors and looking. And I see his socks. Bob would say, what are you doing in here? We're looking at your socks. He doesn't say it, but he thinks it. That ain't none of your business. See, that's what we do when we pry into the secret things of God. It's none of our business. He has determined things from eternity to do what he plans to do, and we just fit into it. We just trust him. We believe that he knows what he's doing, and he's wise, and he's good, and he's kind, and he's so loving. So the revealed things belong to us. The secret things belong to God. Stay out of them. So what do these secret things involve? Well, the good and evil events that 2 Samuel chapter 17. Let's look at that. Good and evil events. Everything is under the decree of God. It's been decreed from eternity. It will happen. 2 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 14, in the time of David and his rebellious son Absalom. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord, here's the commentary that we get from Samuel. The Lord had purpose to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel to the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. He purposed to do that. When did he purpose to do that? Way before he made anything in the world. He purposed to defeat the advice of Ahithophel. The good advice of Ahithophel. So that to the intent, he tells us why. He might bring disaster on Absalom. Who is Absalom? David's son. You know, there's a whole lot there. Isaiah 45, verse 7, God's prophet speaking for God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create calamity. Job 1:21, Job said, naked I came from my mother's womb, naked I shall I return there. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How did he take away from Job? He raised up these marauders that came in and they stole his donkeys, killed his servants. They stole all his animals, his sheep. And Satan sent some kind of a whirlwind and killed all his family. The Lord gave, and he didn't say Satan and the Ammonites and the Midianites took it away. He said, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. And then what did he say? Blessed be the name of the Lord. And if that song was written, whate'er my God ordains is right, holy his will abideth, I will be still where he does, and follow where he guides. And that's what he said. The Lord has given. It's the Lord who took away. How did he take away? He used these bad people. He used the devil. But it was the Lord that did it. The Lord didn't sin. The Lord just decreed it. That this is what's going to happen. And he uses means to do it. Whoa. Any comments, questions? Any comments or questions? And any complaints? Amos 3:6. If a trumpet is blown in the city, will not the people be afraid? If there's calamity in the city, will not the Lord have done it? So everything. Tomorrow, I go to the doctors. Doctor says, you got some problems. We need to go and get it checked out. And it comes to find out I have cancer. Who did it? Well, if it's lung cancer and I was a smoker, yeah, I did it. But the truth is, God did it. God did it. I didn't smoke, but God did it. I got cancer, God did it. And there's a lot of comfort in that. There's a lot of comfort because all things work together for good because God is working them together. But there are the secret things of God. I don't know what it is. And I don't need to pry into the dresser of God. All I need to do is just trust Him and believe Him. All things work together for good to those who love God. God is in control of this. The Lord gave, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's easy to say that when we're sitting here and nothing's going on. Bad. Or so-called bad. For the Christian, there's no bad. It's all good. Does that make sense? Tara said yes. But she's young. But she's right. Yes. I hope it makes sense. Will, you have that quizzical look on your face. Again. Good and evil events are part of the secret will of God. All the little details of life are part of the secret will of God. Psalm 139, verse 16, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. So the Lord wrote the DNA code for me. And I get these reports from 23 and me. When the kids told us to send us the free DNA kit, and we spit on it and send it off, and they come back and they say, here's what your DNA says. And what my DNA, they keep on telling me things that my DNA says. So you have type 2 diabetes in your family, and you have a certain percentage, you get it. And on and on and on and on, other things too. You do too. But God wrote my DNA code. I didn't do it. My parents didn't do it. He created my body and my everything about me. He wrote it all down. And 23andMe sends me another letter and says, according to your DNA, you'll never be bald. Oh, I'm so thankful. They didn't say never. They said you shouldn't be. I sure wish they were right. All the little details, Matthew 10, 29 and 30. Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for copper coin? Not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are numbered, all numbered. Even for bald guys, it's easier. All the little details, James 4, 13 through 15. Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, make profit. Whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. It's up to God. And that's why it's a good thing for us to say, Lord willing. Lord willing. I remember saying that a long time ago to our children. Monday was my day off. And I promised to take them to go ice skating at the ice skating rink in South Florida. I said, Lord willing, tomorrow we'll go ice skating. Only problem, I think I said Monday, but the only problem was we had a hurricane And there was no more skating rink after that. No more skating rink. And the kids reminded me, you said, Lord willing. And the Lord was not willing. I was willing. And we're willing for a lot of stuff. But sometimes God, it's not God's will. And somehow we've got to live with that mindset that it's about God's will. What is He willing to do? I'm not going to make all, I can make plans, but they're all dependent upon the will of God, which is secret. And I don't know what it is, and He's not going to tell me. He did tell some of His prophets things, but He doesn't tell us what His secret will is. Secret will involves, how am I going to die? Don't worry about dying, worry about living. Don't even worry about that, just live. Be faithful. So, good and evil events, all the little details of life. How about all the so-called chance happenings? This is a good one from, I like this one. 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. Remember Elijah? Ahab, King Ahab, did not like him. Did not like him because he's the man of God. And so there was another prophet. His name was Micaiah. Micaiah warned Ahab that he was going to die. And Ahab and King Jehoshaphat, the good king, they got together and they said, we're going to go up and fight. They asked all the prophets of Ahab had and said, go ahead, God's going to give you the victory. And then Jehoshaphat, that wise man, why kind of wise, not completely wise, because he wouldn't hang around with Ahab. He shouldn't have hung around with him. But he says, don't you have any prophets of Jehovah here? Don't you have any prophets? Well, there's one guy, but I don't like him. We'll call him. So Ahab called Micaiah. Micaiah says, go ahead. Go out there. God will bless you. And he said it real sarcastically so they knew. Ahab said, I told you, you need to tell the truth. Here's the truth. And he tells them about a vision. And he said, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, verse 19, and all the hosts of heaven standing by on his right hand, on his left. And the Lord said, who will persuade Ahab to go up that he may fall at Ramoth-Gilead? So one spoke in this manner, another spoke in that manner. Then the Spirit came forward and stood before the Lord and said, I will persuade him. And the Lord said to him, in what way? So he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. And the Lord said, you shall persuade him and also prevail. Go out and do so. And therefore, look, this is Micaiah saying, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of all these prophets of yours, and the Lord has declared disaster against you. Who did all that? God did. When did he do that? Before the time began, he decreed everything that was going to happen on that particular day. And Ahab was going to die because part of all the decrees of God are all the so-called chance happenings. Now, listen, beginning verse 29, they go out, and the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, verse 30, I'll disguise myself and go into battle, but you put on your robes. So the king of Israel disguised himself and went into battle. And Jehoshaphat is dressed like a king. And so they start chasing after him, and then they realize he's not the one we're after Ahab. And Jehoshaphat gets away. And then verse 34, verse 33, and it happened when the captains of the chariots saw that it was not the king of Israel that they turned back from pursuing him. Now a certain man drew a bow at random and struck the king of Israel between the joints of his armor. So he said to the driver of the chariot, turn around, take me out of the battle, for I'm wounded. And the battle increased that day, and the king was propped up in his chariot facing the Syrians and died at evening. What happened? God had decreed he's going to die. He's going to fall at Ramoth-Gilead. And all of the means in which he worked them out so that this would happen that he decreed before eternity. It was a chance happening, because this man just, well, there's a guy over there, and he shot his bow, and his arrow went, and it went between the armor and killed him. And then the dogs licked his blood, like Elijah said. Proverbs 16:33, the lot is cast into the lap, but it's every decision is from the Lord. The people that win the lottery, that's of the Lord. You know why I didn't win the lottery yet? Because I don't do it. I'm afraid. I'll be afraid. People should be afraid to win the lottery. You want $100 million? Who wants $100 million? You can't even spend it. It'll kill you. It'll drag you to hell. The secret will of God, his purpose, his decree, includes good and evil events, all the little details of life, the so-called chance happenings, free actions of men. Proverbs 16, 1. And 9, the preparations of the heart belong to man, but the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Proverbs 21:1, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord like the rivers of water. He turns it whatever he wishes, wherever he wishes. Every president, whether he's a Democrat or Republican or something else, it doesn't matter. The Lord has his hand in his heart in his hand. And he turns it wherever he wants to. And free actions of men, I've given you Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 30, Joshua 11, 20. The sinful actions of men, Genesis 50, verse 20, I quoted this already. Joseph is saying to his brothers, but as for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring it about as it is this day to save many people alive. Acts 4, 27 and 28, for truly, against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. That's the worst thing that could ever have happened. The Lord Jesus was crucified on the cross, and God foreordained it because he decreed it. And he decreed it for his glory and for the good of his people, for the salvation of his people. But that doesn't negate the responsibility and the reality that Pilate did it, and the soldiers did it, and the Jews did it, and the chief priests did it, and the Pharisees did it. And they're all guilty. And yet in the end, God did it. It pleased the Jehovah to bruise him. He put him to grief. When you make a soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the labor of soul and be satisfied. Sinful actions of men are part of the secret will of God. Any problems? Yeah, we have problems because we don't understand. We don't understand. And sometimes people who don't understand don't like it. But I'm so glad God doesn't plan things on the fly like some of us do. Something happens and we're just putting out fires. You know, put out this fire, and put out this fire, and put out this fire. Well, why don't you do something and keep the fires from starting? And we're just put out fires. Any comments or questions or problems? Oh, really? Greg? Comments, questions? We don't have time. Well, we don't. We really don't. Okay, here's your assignment for next week. Write down problems, questions, conflicts that you have or somebody else might have. Let's see if we can deal with them. Okay? Chip, that's your assignment for next week. Martha? Greg? That's what you do when you go fishing. Okay? I really, really, and Lydia, think about other people in your life. What kind of questions would they have? What problems would they have? Let's see if we can try to answer them. But it really comes down to faith, submitting to God as the God of the Bible, and holy self-doubt. Because the tendency for a lot of us when we have problems is I trust my thoughts above what the Bible says. And we're going to go right back to scriptures. Whatever the Bible says, that's what we're going to do. That's what we have to believe. And we don't discount the scriptures. We discount ourselves. And Greg says, amen. He didn't say amen. He just go like this. Let's pray.